restoration. There were, in the history of our cultural development, there were 21 to 26 cultural realms. But then these were culminated into the Far Eastern cultural realm, the Hindi cultural realm, the Islamic cultural realm, and the Christian cultural realm. These four big cultural realms. Then, ultimately, these cultures need to come together into one cultural realm to come under the umbrella of Christianity, because Christianity is the religion that upholds God as the parent of mankind. This is how all the cultural realms go back to God. So it's the history of cultural development, and then also looking from the way of religion and science. When man fell, they fell into ignorance spiritually and physically. So throughout history, religion and science have been working to liberate man's ignorance. And then these religion and science need to unify. The tendency of historical conflicts, when man fell, they became the body containing both good and evil within themselves. And so when God separated Adam into Cain and Abel, Cain representing Satan's side and Abel representing God's side. And then the Cain-type view of life developed throughout history, and the Abel-type view of life developed. Cain was born first, so the Cain-type history started first. The Cain-type view of life, humanism, based on Hellenism, materialism, and communism developed from the Cain-type view of life. And then centering on Abel, the view of life, Abel-type view of life, developed into Godism, Hebrew, from the Hebrew culture, Hebraism. And this developed into spiritualism and democracy. Democracy is a group of laws, but once the system is broken, then nothing remains. But communism is formed on an ideology, so even if the system falls, then the ideology still remains. We need to find a way to unite the communist world and the democratic world. From the tendency of historical conflicts and how they developed, we can also see that today is the day of last days when we need to unite ideologies and unite the conflicts. looking for the point of the Bible, see the restoration, how the restoration of the tree of life has been carried. In Genesis 2:9 says, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree, there was a tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Then in Revelation, it says, blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. The dream of perfected of Adam is to become the tree of life, to become a perfect Adam, true father. What is different between the tree of life in the Garden of Eden and the tree of life in Revelations? They are the same ideal. Adam was to become the tree of life, the perfected Adam, but he was not able to do so. And then Jesus came to be the tree of life, but he was not able to become the perfected tree of life because the people put him on the cross. Therefore, the third Adam must come, being the true tree of life through which all man, fallen man, can engraft with and receive God's life. We can see that history has been a history to restore the tree of life. The last days. If Adam and Eve had fulfilled God's will by making a four-position foundation centering on God, then the world that would have spread through that family would have been a good world. There would be no original sin, no need for redemption or prayer, no need for faith, no need for the Messiah, or no need for the last days. No last days saying that this world would be ended. But these things originated because of the fall. The fallen world is a world that has the same form as the original world, except instead of believing in God, turned to unfaithlessness in Genesis 2:17. So Satan became the world, the lord of the world, and the world that spread from Satan's, the four-position foundation centering on Satan, became an evil world of hell. Hell on earth and in heaven. Because of the fall, original sin came. We need repentance, prayer, faith. We need the Messiah, and we need to bring an end to this realm of satanic sovereignty. That means we need the last days of satanic sovereignty. The turning point of is called the last days. The turning point from Satan's sovereignty into God's sovereignty. This place where Satan's world changes into God's world. When these two sovereignties cross, is called the last days. That is now. There were several last days. In Noah's time was the last days, Jesus' time was the last days, and the time of Second Advent is the last days. Man was supposed to become perfect by through the growth period. go through creation, formation, growth, but without reaching completion, the angle changed. Instead of circling around God, man started circling around Satan. We need to change the angle and bring it back to center around God. Noah's time was to bring people to go back to God. And Jesus' time was to bring people to come back to God. But the people did not believe in Jesus and follow Jesus. And they killed Jesus. And that's why a person that comes with Jesus' mission needs to come again and cut off this bad, this wrong angle and bring it back to the original cycle. Noah's time was the last days, Jesus' time was the last time days, and Second Advent's time is the last days. You can say that there were three major last days throughout history. There's not only a big last days, but there are many stages of the last days. Individual level of the last days, family level of the last days, clan level of the last days, nation level of the last days, world level of the last days. And we can also see from the verses, look at the verses from the Bible about the coming of the last days. The first part is about the earth being destroyed. Peter, 2 Peter. The earth being destroyed, is this literal or symbolic? In Noah's time, God said that he would destroy the earth. I will destroy them together with the earth. But in Noah's time, there was a flood, but God did not destroy the earth. In Jesus' time, 2 Peter said the elements will melt with fire. But the earth still remained. And Second Advent, the time of Second Advent said that we will wait that the old heaven and old earth will fall away, and we will wait for new heaven and new earth. But the earth remains forever. A generation comes and a generation goes, but the earth remains forever. And in Isaiah, it said, God said, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me," means that the earth will stay forever. The earth will last, but so this means that the earth being destroyed is not literal. Then what does it mean that the earth will be destroyed? What is the meaning of earth? God made all things with pairs. To say that there is earth, you say that because there is heaven. So if we study heaven, then we can know what earth is. In Matthew 6:9, the verse says, "Our Father who art in heaven." God is omnipresent, but Jesus said that God, our Father, is in heaven. And then John 3:13 said, "He who descended from heaven, the Son of Man." Now what is heaven talking about in the Bible? It is not the sky, but what does heaven mean? It means good, ultimately good, ultimately high, holy, and true. Jesus was born from man, the Son of Man, but he descended from heaven because he is the being of goodness and holy being. But the other hand, earth is ultimately evil, low, lowly, and false. This symbolizes, earth symbolizes Satan's evil sovereignty. So the fact that earth will be destroyed doesn't mean that the earth that we're living in will be destroyed, but that Satan's evil sovereignty will be destroyed. And then God's good sovereignty will begin through all mankind restoring their blood lineage to God's lineage, so that God can govern them through their blood ties and then make this world into a good world, a holy world, a true world. At the end of the Second World War, Japan was destroyed. It's not the fact that the land of Japan was destroyed, but the government of Japan was destroyed. The fact that Earth will be destroyed means that Satan's evil sovereignty will be destroyed. The next verse is that people, the dead, or we will rise, we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We will rise to the air. Rise in the air, is this literal or symbolic? Meaning, heaven and earth are opposites. Heaven is completely good and high, holy, and true. Earth is evil, low, lowly, and false. And so, to rise up in the air doesn't mean to go floating up with the clouds, but it means that the evil world will be raised to heaven's standard. That Satan's evil sovereignty will be raised to the standard of God's good sovereignty. Our life paradigm will shift. There was a church in Korea that they had a special time that the Lord was to come, and that at midnight all the members were going to rise into the air together. And so many Christian members gathered together in that church. It was a humongous church, and there was press there waiting to see this phenomena that all people rise into the air. but even when the time came, nothing happened. And so the people were singing holy songs and waited all day long, but nothing happened. So what does it mean to rise in the air? Is this literal? If we believe it to be literal, then that can be a problem. It means to rise in the air. It means that the evil sovereignty will rise its standard, raise its standard to become God's sovereignty. Paradigm shift. Judgment by the fire. Is this literal or symbolic? In Jesus' time, Malachi says, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch through the fire. The fire was going to burn everything. But did that really happen? Did Jesus really bring fire? This was symbolic. It says the tongue is fire. In Joshua. The tongue is fire. So this is judgment by fire. But when did Jesus really bring fire? The tongue is fire. So the word is fire. This is judgment by the truth. It says, he who hears my word and believes him who has sent me has eternal life. The word that I have spoken will be his judge on the last day. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. I came to cast fire upon the earth. This tongue is the word. And with the energy and the power of the word, will smite the earth through the judgment by the word. Jesus came, said that I have come to cast fire upon the earth. Jesus didn't come to set the world ablaze with real fire, but he came to give God's word, and so the people could receive this word. But people didn't receive this and cast Jesus aside. To smite people and slay the wicked with his lips. Doesn't mean to kill them, but to kill, to judge the evil in them and kill the evil nature of the people. Are we going to live by the words? The words are the judgment that we will be judged. The sun, the moon, and the stars. Matthew 24:29 says, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. The sun, moon, stars, are these literal or symbolic? What is the meaning of sun, moon, and stars? Will these things happen literally? We have to know the meaning of sun, moon, and stars. In Genesis 37:9-10, Joseph had a dream and about that I had another dream where the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. This came to really happen. But Joseph had many strange dreams, and the brothers didn't like Joseph, because Joseph was also the favorite son. And when Joseph told his dream to his father and his family, his father said, "Do you mean that your father, your mother, and your brothers will bow down to you?" And his father kind of scolded Joseph. In the Judaic law, the people were to prepare to follow Jesus, but they didn't. In Moses' time, the people followed the Mosaic law to Judaism, but if they don't receive the Messiah, then they will lose their footstep. And then if Judaism doesn't receive the Messiah, they will lose their footstep. The law, the Mosaic law, is like candlelight. So when the new gospel comes centering on the Messiah, they'll bring the gospel, which is like electricity and light. And so the light of the candlelight light will be absorbed in by the electricity, and that light, that it loses its purpose. Sun is the father, the moon is the mother, and stars are the brethren. The Christian people are supposed to follow the Lord of the Second Advent when He comes, but instead they're holding on to the gospel, saying that this is the absolute truth, and we don't need what you have to bring. And so if the Christians continue to do this, then they will lose their step, their foothold. To say that the stars will fall down means that the Judaism and Christianity will lose their foothold if they turn their backs, if they don't receive the word of the completed testament. To be darkened, this foreshadows the end of the mission. Stars falling foreshadows the failure by not fulfilling one's portion of responsibility. The last days and the present days, God's ideal is the fulfillment of the three great blessings. And so in the last days, we can see signs of the restoration of the three great blessings. We must become individual people going back to the individual perfection. the original ideal world, we are to be one in heart, have freedom of the original mind, the nobility of human beings, and universal value is recognized. And this is a world relating horizontally. People relate with each other with God's love. So we see the phenomena of the restoration of spirituality. In the modern world, we see increased spiritual people and the restoration of the freedom of the original mind. In the modern world, we see the pursuit of freedom of the original mind, the revolution for freedom, the restoration for human value. We see that we are at the height of democratic ideals, the pursuit of individual values, human rights movement, through the human rights movement, liberation movement. And we see the restoration of original true love through philanthropism, to return to the original love ideal. We can see that today is the last day seen from the signs of restoration of the first blessing. The signs of the restoration of the second blessing. This is to make the history of cultural development. The original ideal world would be a world of one great family centering on God. But right now we are in the cultural... The fallen world is in the cultural realm under Satan's sovereignty. So the satanic cultural realm. But God has been working to restore this cultural realm to be centered on God and God's sovereignty. So we see the modern world coming, God's cultural realm centering on Christianity. We see the history of the rise and fall of nations. And in the modern world, we see the division and intersection of democratic world and the communist world. Adam was divided into Cain and Abel to split good and evil. The Cain-type view of life developed into humanism, Hellenism, which developed into materialism and communism. Communism is a group of ideology, and then the Abel-type view of life developed into Godism, and which developed into seeing the core of life to be spiritualism, democracy. So these need to, democracy is a world of structure, so these two need to be united. The signs of restoration of the third blessing, the restoration of dominion, man has internal nature and external form, but we have fallen into ignorance. So in order to restore this, religion, philosophy, ethics have developed to restore our spiritual self, and we have been working to conserve nature, we can see. As a result, we can conserve nature and uphold mankind and what God created. Externally, science developed, technical development happened. So there's been economical growth and a comfortable environment has been made. So we can see the restoration of dominion happening, the third great blessing. So today is the last day seen from the signs of the restoration of the three great blessings. Then seen from social phenomena, you reap what you sow. The Adam and Eve were still in the immature state, not able to have dominion over the natural world yet. The archangel was in the position to be a servant to God, but also an uncle to Adam and Eve to teach them. He had the responsibility to guide and teach and protect them, to connect them to God. But so this archangel was in the position of uncle, like a mature man that had a lot of knowledge. And so Eve Eve fell for the archangel over Adam. The archangel looked so much more mature, and then Eve fell with the archangel, receiving the maturity that the archangel had, and all of the proclivities that the archangel had got the archangel's fallen nature at the same time. That's why usually the girls mature faster than men. They are like in the... After Eve fell, then she was like, she was in the mother position, and Adam was in the child's position. Archangel was in the uncle position, Eve was in the daughter position. When they fell, then Eve became like the mother, and Adam became like the son. And so these close relative relationships became incest relationships. We see that today is the last days seen from social phenomena, that we need to save this bad content. We need to have them welcome the Messiah. And the Messiah comes with God's word so that we can become true people. The last days and our attitude. Originally, we were supposed to follow God and carry out God's ideal of creation. But instead, we followed Satan and made a satanic realm, fulfilling Satan's desires. So Satan started as the Lord of the world, and God had to start at the bottom and go up. But now, Satan's world is coming to an end, and God's world is coming up. So this last days is an age of confusion. This is a time when it's difficult to understand what is right and what is wrong. This is the turning point of good and evil. So, the last days is the redemption of the old age, providential beginning of the new age. There is confusion and contradiction in this last days. Internally, there is fear, dread, and confusion. Externally, there is conflict and war. But what is our attitude in the last days? We should cultivate a humble heart and make the utmost effort to receive the divine inspiration through prayer. We need to receive the Messiah in this time to make clear what direction we should go in. So if you have followed God and come up to this point, yet you turn your direction and follow Satan and go back down again, that is not good. So we need to know the true value centering on the Messiah. And we need to teach people about true values. Representing true parents, we must teach people of the world. Our attitude, we need to understand God, and through prayer, we should not be strongly attached to conventional concepts, but rather should direct ourselves to be receptive to the Spirit. And in order that we may find the new truth, which can guide us to the providence of the new age, we should cultivate a humble heart and make the utmost effort to receive divine inspiration through prayer. We have to let go of our conventional concepts. And in this age, this time of confusion, we need to make God the motivation of our lives. Okay, next. This is the last days. And next. The Messiah, His advent, and the purpose of His second coming. This is the introduction to the Messiah. The word Messiah in Hebrew means the anointed one, signifying a king. The chosen people of Israel believed in the word of God as revealed through the prophets, which promised that God would send them a king and savior. Such was their messianic expectation. And God sent this Messiah in the person of Jesus Christ. Christ is the Greek word for Messiah. We call Christ Savior, Messiah, Messiah. These are all the same word. Salvation through the cross. Christ came as Messiah. Jesus came to save the people as Messiah, but He was put on the cross at 33 years of age. And then centering on the cross, Christianity has thought that salvation without the cross is unheard of, that Christianity is the church of the cross, the faith of the cross. If you believe in redemption through blood, redemption through the cross, then you can be saved. The Messiah went on the cross at 33 years of age. And then, after Jesus died, He was resurrected 3 days later. And then together with the resurrected Jesus, Christianity started. Jesus died on the cross. So then was the will of Jesus or will of God fulfilled through Jesus dying on the cross? God, the purpose of God, Jesus coming as the Messiah. Adam and Eve were supposed to form a family centering on God, making a good world. And this world would have been a good world centering on God. It would make heaven on earth, and then in the spirit world it would be heaven and heaven. And there would be no original sin, no need for redemption, no need for prayer, no need for the Messiah, and no need for Messiah to come. God's blessings for mankind, God's promise was that for mankind, God's purpose for them is to fulfill the three great blessings, to be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion over creation. Be fruitful, become one in body with God, become God's temple, and become perfect, thereby acquiring a divine nature. Then these people come, this kind of man and woman come together and multiply, have a family, and then they can have dominion over all creation. This is making the wonderful world, a good world of God's sovereignty. But instead of believing in God's words, they didn't believe. And so they united with Satan, man united with Satan, and made a world of evil nature, becoming fallen man, which are Satan's children. Fallen man became one with Satan, becoming Satan's temple, becoming fallen human beings. Satan is the God of this world. The fallen man are Satan's children. God is lamenting because he lost his children. And in Genesis 6:6, God lamented because of the state of humanity. He lamented for creating humanity. Humanity lost their parents. And in Romans 8:23, creation is in lamentation because they lost their owner. In the fallen world, we acquired original sin, the need to repent, prayer, faith, and we need a Messiah. And the Christians went out to the world and shouted the need to be saved through Jesus, through the cross, to go back to God's ideal world. So we must also go out to the world and teach people about true salvation, how to return to God's true lineage in God's world. If we think about how God's heart and the situation of man and how man is being treated in a satanic world, then we would be so busy if we truly understood. We would not eat, we would not sleep as much as we do. We would work harder. This is the life of true parents. They don't sleep, don't eat. And work to teach God's words and save humanity. They do this in order to restore people in satanic realm to come back to God's realm. This is what we must do. We must bring the people in satanic realm back to God's realm. To become God's true sons and daughters. Jesus came to bring the people of satanic realm to come back to God's lineage and live in God's and make a world of God's good sovereignty. But the result of Jesus is that there has been no people that have gone back to the original state. No baby that was born without original sin. So we can see that God's will was not completed through the cross. Why? Why wasn't it completed through the cross? It was... Jesus couldn't complete this because he was killed on the cross. So, was God's will fulfilled through Jesus dying on the cross? The conclusion is no. It is incomplete. The providence of restoration through the redemption of the cross is incomplete. The purpose of the providence of restoration was not fulfilled. Why? Because Jesus passed away on the cross. Why did Jesus pass away on the cross? The Christians all know that Jesus died on the cross, and they think that this was predestined, that Jesus was meant to die on the cross. So did Jesus come to die on the cross? See, from God's providence, God chose the Jewish people, centering on Abraham's family, chose the Jewish people to be the chosen people, and prepared the people to become a people that when the Messiah came, that they wouldn't kill the Messiah, and they would be able to receive him and follow him. This is how God raised the people of Israel. Why did God make this nation? Why did he prepare the people? Did he prepare the people so that when God sent his son that they would kill him? No. God prepared Zechariah's family, John the Baptist. He prepared Joseph's family, Mary and Jesus, so that they could be protection for Jesus. And they were in the midst of Judaism, the high priest, the rabbi, the scribes, the people. When people asked Jesus how they should do the work of God's will, then Jesus said, to believe in he who him sent is doing God's will. Jesus wanted the people to believe in him and believe in his words and follow them. And he did miracles so that the people could believe that he was he whom God had sent. Jesus performed many miracles, curing leprous people and curing people that were dying or near had died. So the people were supposed to follow, see Jesus and listen to his words and see the deeds that Jesus did and follow Jesus. But instead, they pointed to Jesus and said that he is Beelzebul, the demon. So instead of following Jesus and respecting Jesus more, they pointed their fingers at Jesus and called him the demon, doing the works of the devil. Jesus had such a heart of anguish, saying, "How many times have I tried to gather you under my wing, but you would not listen?" So even from Jesus' words, we can see that to die on the cross was not his will from the beginning. Jesus' disciples' testimony, when Jesus' heart of anguish, when Jesus brought the disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Please stay up with me, for I do not want to die," and pray. And Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed, sweating blood, saying, "Please, if it may be possible, if it may be your will, possible, please let this cup pass from me." With these words, we can see that Jesus did not come to die, but Jesus' purpose when he came was to fulfill the four-position foundation. Looking at the disciples' testimonies, Stephen in Acts 7:52-53 says that, "And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the Righteous One, whom you have now betrayed and murdered, you who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." This means that Stephen called out to the Jewish people that they stoned the prophets, and they killed the one that God sent. They murdered him. And then in Paul said in Corinthians, "None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Jesus' death on the cross was not predestined to happen. This was not the will of God from the beginning. But this was a result of the people's ignorance and misbelief. Of course, there is grace through the cross, but this is limited salvation. We have to know what the limit of salvation is through the cross. The limit of salvation through the redemption by the cross and the purpose of Jesus' second advent. If the people had believed in Jesus and become one with Jesus, then they would be able to go before God through Jesus. They would be able to cut off Satan's ties. Who has the right to cut off Satan's ties? Only the Son of God does. Comes with God's lineage. And then man would reunite with God spiritually and physically. Both spiritually and physically, man would be engrafted onto Jesus. And their lineage would be restored to God. But because people did not believe, Jesus was put on the cross. So through the cross, Jesus' body was claimed by Satan, but Satan could not claim Jesus' spirit. So because of the cross, man's physical body still remains Satan's dominion, but if you live a fervent life of faith, trying to unite with Jesus, then your spirit can be claimed by God. So you can be saved spiritually. Because Jesus was victorious spiritually, and he set such a victorious foundation, then those who unite with Jesus can receive spiritual salvation. But the physical body is still invaded by Satan. We must prepare the foundation for spiritual victory and physical victory at the same time. That's why we need to receive the Messiah that comes to complete the spiritual and physical salvation. There are two kinds of prophecies concerning the cross. Two kinds of prophecies. In Isaiah 53, it prophesies that Jesus will be the Lord of suffering. Yet in Isaiah 9:11 and 60, the prophecy is that if you believe and attend Jesus, the Lord, he will come as the Lord of glory. In Genesis 2:17, if Adam had believed in the tree of life, had believed in the word of God, he would become the tree of life. But if he didn't believe, he would die. In Moses' time, if the people had believed in God's words, they would go into Canaan. But if they didn't believe, they would die in the wilderness. So this is human's responsibility. Whether you believe and attend Jesus so that he can become the Lord of glory, or don't believe and make him the Lord of suffering, this is all up to man. It's a portion of responsibility.
Okay.
The gospel passages in which Jesus spoke of his crucifixion as if it was necessary. And John 3:14 says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Why was the bronze serpent necessary? The people were disbelieving in Moses. And so God sent serpents of fire to kill the people that didn't believe. And then Moses raised the bronze serpent so that those who looked up to the bronze serpent would not be killed by the fiery serpents. This was to save the people by making their faith strong so that they would believe. Because people didn't believe in Jesus, then if the people looked up to Jesus, when Jesus was raised on the cross, if the people looked up to Jesus and believed in Jesus, then there would be salvation. In John 19:30, Jesus said, "It is finished." Some people think that, meaning it is finished, when he died on the cross, thought that Jesus finished his will when he died on the cross. Through dying on the cross, that he fulfilled his mission. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do the men say that I am?" Simon said, or Peter said, that the people are saying that you are the Son of God. People are calling you like Elijah, or people are saying that. The disciples answered saying, "Oh, they're saying that you are like this and you are like that." But Jesus asked Simon. Simon said that you are the Son of God. And when Simon testified this, then Jesus said, "From now you are not Simon, make your name Peter, and I will build my church. I will use your foundation. You will be the rock that Satan would, I mean, that Jesus would stand on Peter's foundation." Because of Peter's testimony that Jesus is the Son of God, then Jesus had a foundation to stand on. When Jesus was in Caiaphas' courtyard, then Peter was confused. Whether Jesus was really the Son of God. Well, how would the Son of God be killed? It's the only Son of God. In Caiaphas' courtyard, when they asked Jesus who he is, he said that I am the Son of God. In front of Pontius Pilate, said the same. Said that, are you the Son of God? Are you the King of the Jews? Then Jesus did not talk back. He only affirmed that he came as God's Son. He would not deny that. Jesus asked Peter, do you really love me? Jesus said that I love you till death. And Peter said, no, tonight before the cock crows twice, you will betray me. But then Peter said, no, that can never happen, Lord. I love you until death. So Peter should have believed in Jesus' words instead of believing on his own thinking. And really reflected on himself. And will I betray Jesus? When Jesus was being tried at Caiaphas' court, people recognized Peter and said, oh, aren't you he who has followed Jesus? And he said, no, that's not me. You must be mistaken. It's not me. To testify somebody, you cannot do that by yourself. You cannot testify somebody that I am the Son of God. But you need somebody else's testimony to testify that. Peter, followed Jesus for 2 years and 8 months. And he's followed Jesus, and he was supposed to testify about the Jesus that he saw and that he knew. So even if Jesus died, Jesus needed somebody's testimony to testify about who he was. But Peter kept denying that he was Jesus' follower, and that Jesus was the Messiah. And then when the cock crowed twice, then Peter remembered Jesus' words. But at that time, if the people had said, is he really the Christ? And then Peter said, yes, that is true. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord that has come to save mankind. Jesus was able to stand on Peter's foundation. Peter was the rock that Jesus could stand on to be the Messiah. Because Jesus had this foundation, he couldn't die so easily, but once he lost his foundation, he had no choice but to go to die. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, the thief said that asked Jesus to save him, or I forgot. Said that if you are the Son of Man, why don't you try to come down from the cross? Kind of mocking Jesus. But the thief on the right said, "This man is innocent. He is different from us." And Jesus said that you will come be with me in paradise. He was the only person that affirmed Jesus the time of the cross. The meaning of "it is finished" means that he received the proof as Messiah and accomplishes spiritual salvation. It does not mean that Jesus completely accomplished God's will. In Matthew 16:13, Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." And behold, two men talked with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they awakened, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is well that we are here. Let us make three booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. So, this time, Jesus was talking with Moses and Elijah and came down from the mountain so serious to go this path of spiritual salvation. But Satan tried to enter Peter to stop the spiritual salvation. We can see that Satan enters into our bodies to stop God's will. Jesus did not come to die on the cross, but he died on the cross due to the unfaithfulness of the Jewish people and his disciples. Jesus was so serious that even if he could not fulfill this physical salvation, he could go this path and fulfill spiritual salvation. So this is what it means when Jesus said to Peter to get behind me, Satan. Doesn't mean that Jesus' original will was to go the path of the cross, but because he said this to stop Satan from stopping Satan to go the path of spiritual salvation. And the lecture here tonight, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father,